I've got my water and I've got my Scooby-Doo pajamas on underneath this, and I'm ready.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to This, That, and the Other Thing. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Danielle.
And we thank you all for listening and for being here with us today. Now, usually we do a segment on our show called Something to Know, but this entire episode will be dedicated to something we all need to know, something we all need to educate ourselves about, something we need to be better about, and that is understanding racism and how we can help put an end to it. We invited our good friend, speaker, and author, Cornell Thomas, back into the virtual studio with us today to have a conversation for some reason is never really had because it's uncomfortable or awkward. But if there ever was a time, it's now. So Cornell, welcome back. Thank you for being here.
Well, thank you, ladies, for having me. It's always a pleasure to see your beautiful faces.
Same.
Thank you.
A beautiful face comment back to you.
Yeah, but singular because I only have one face.
So to start things off, why do you think that is? Why do you think that having a conversation about race is so uncomfortable?
It's kind of like having a conversation about sex. It's like, it's just like, when do you bring it up? Right? Like if we're at a Chick-fil-A and you're like, oh my gosh, how's your sandwich? You know, what do you think about systemic racism? It kind of ruins the mood, you know?
So it's like,
it's just certain things that are taboo in our society that shouldn't be. You should be able to talk about things like that. You should be able to talk about race. You should be talking about, you know, if you and your partner like to put on French poodle outfits and go crazy. It's whatever it is, go nuts, right? So I think that the cool thing about what's happening outside of this guy, you know, being murdered is the fact that people are having all sorts of conversations. People that I haven't talked to in freaking months mm-hmm. are hitting me up and like, you know, hey, can we talk? So I think anything that kind of opens up the conversation and lets people know, I always let people know, I'm always okay to talk about this. Like, especially it's people that I care about, that are friends of mine, that really genuinely want to know, I'm always open to have that conversation because I think it's important. Because someone like yourself, you know, you have two kids, another baby on the way, you know, who knows, 14 more, right? This is something that we have to educate our kids in. It's so super important that we educate our kids. And for me, a couple of weeks ago, having a talk to Bryce and Naya, and they're 6 and 4, about race for the first time, like really sitting and talking about it, you know, it makes you want to cry because I didn't learn about this stuff until I was like 13. Because mm-hmm. when I moved to like a
all-white school. Young.
Yeah. And I was just like, oh, wait a second, there's racism? Because living in Passaic, I just never experienced it because it's all Black and Spanish. So mm-hmm. when we moved to Rockaway, I was like 6th, 7th grade, and I'm just like, oh, wait, there's people that don't like me because of the way I look. So to have that conversation with them at 6 and 4, it makes you angry, but it's something that you have to let your children know. Like at some point in time, you may come across people that don't like you just for the way you look, which is ridiculous. And I, even as I was saying the words to them, just looking at their innocent faces, like you have kids. So it's like, these kids are so freaking innocent. The last thing they're thinking about is the pigmentation on someone's, you know, skin. And just to have that conversation for them to see them try to process what I'm saying.
Yeah. Like what?
Like, why wouldn't they like me? You know, yeah. Kids are just so much smarter than we are. You know, yeah. It's like, we almost have to evolve backwards and go back to that innocence where we were creative and where we didn't judge people on, you know, the color of their skin and just figure things out. Because if you see kids play on a sandlot, you see kids play in a playground, the last thing they're saying is, let's divide each other up by race. They're mm-hmm. like, oh, let's all come together and play. And if you're a mean kid, then they won't play with you. And if you're a cool kid, they will play with you. And then that's that.
That's what it comes down to. It's just a good human.
A human. Yeah.
We are a human race. So yeah, I can't even imagine having that conversation.
Yeah,
we joke up already. We're like 5 minutes in. We do this every time, but this is on a whole nother level.
Yeah.
Now, on the latest episode of your podcast, Population Unplugged, you talked about Ubuntu.
Ubuntu, yes.
Yes. So, I am because we are, which is basically some of it, but couldn't be more fitting for the times right now. Would you mind explaining it a little bit to our listeners here? Because I thought it was really a really inspiring episode that you had. Most of yours are. But.
Thank you so much. Well, the first time I heard Ubuntu, I was still coaching basketball. I was coaching college basketball. I was on my second to last year at Sussex County College. And we just went through a season where we didn't win a lot of games. And I was trying to figure out something to unite my guys and change the culture of the program. So I went to a basketball clinic in Las Vegas, and I listened to this guy named Doc Rivers, who's the head coach of the Clippers now. And he brought up the phrase Ubuntu, and he learned it from someone else that taught him. It's an African philosophy. And Ubuntu, like you said, means I am because we are. So if we're all in a village, and say me, you, and Danielle are all part of this village, we're all part of this tribe, and say Danielle is killing it. Danielle's having, you know, she's successful. She has all these things that are going on that are great. And one of us is like really struggling. That means the whole tribe is struggling. Because if I am because we are, if what happens to one of us happens to all of us. Mm-hmm. So I adopted that philosophy, and I would have my guys, when we bring in the huddle, you know, we call ourselves Wolfpack. And so we'd be like 1, 2, 3, pack, 4, 5, 6, Ubuntu. And teams were like, why are they, what are they saying? Like, what, they had no idea what we were saying. And my guys, it took so long to like explain to them, one, how to say it, and two, the meaning of it. You know, like it's this is bigger than just the individual. Mm-hmm. This is about all of us. And I think it's a beautiful philosophy to live by. And I think in Afrocentric cultures, it's more of, we have to get through this. I think here in America, it's like, I've got to get ahead. You know, I do. Like, I don't care about you and Danielle. I have to get up this mountain. And that's the problem. And right. Another African phrase that I love is, a saying that I love is, they say, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. And it's such a tale of like the times we're living in. You're taught at a very early age, like, you got to be first. And there's nothing wrong with being competitive. There's nothing wrong with competing. I was in sports for a very long time, but you can't becoming first at the detriment of hurting people. That's not competition. That's just being an a-hole. Mm-hmm. Right. So yeah. I try to live my life that way. I try to help people because I believe that God put me on this earth to do this. I try to be like, I know my shoulders are big enough to like get other people's burdens. And when at times like this, where we're having such a divide in consciousness, but also at the same time, this unity, this like, it's like yin and yang. There's like a divide on one side, but there's so much good coming. There's so much unity that's coming from it. It's very hard to compartmentalize the two, because you're like, well, you see this picture of this, and you're like, wow, what a bunch of racist a-holes. But then you see like these police officers that are taking a knee and, you know, out there with the protesters and saying like, we don't support this guy. Mm-hmm. Right. So it's a weird time that we're living in. I mean, it started with the Rona ish and then murder hornets. And now this, so it's like, who's rolling the Jumanji dice? And what are they going to throw at us next?
That's what I was going to say to you. Like, exactly. Positivity is your thing. That is you. I see you. Positive, happy, good, smiley, happy guy. And the way that everything's going right now, it seems like there's so much division and so much just craziness. But like at the same time, what's going to come out of this, hopefully, is it's going to be good. Mm-hmm. Like, everything that you mentioned, I think it was this last episode or the one before, just in 15 days. Of protests, how much change has happened. And if we could just get our act together and continue with that, we could be living in a totally different world.
Oh, for sure. Like, that's beautifully said, because it's so true. I mean, think about the planet that we'd be living, our kids would be growing up in. If we just, first off, like, just for your viewers, if you don't know, everyone originates from Africa, like all of us. That's why you see the whitest people in the world take the 23andMe test. Like, I'm 2% African. Of course you are. That's where first man and woman were. Like, we all originate from there. So if you think about that, if we all originate from the same place and our skin color, our skin tone is from where we geographically ended up, mm-hmm. right? That's how ridiculous it is. So that's why when people say like human race, it's 100% like we're all from here. We are all interconnected. And there were just evil people that decided to oppress people because of the color of their skin for power. That's it. Power and money. That's it. That's the only thing that separates us. We look different, which is dope. I love the fact that we all look different, but we are 100% the same. This is a skin suit that we're wearing. It's just a skin suit. Mm-hmm. It's our energy. It's our souls, right? That's what's important. And that's why we connect with people so deeply. Like when you meet someone, like you connect with them. I never forget stuff when we first talked. It was like an automatic connection. I was like, oh, she's going to be my friend for a very long time. You know, and then I met Danielle. I was like, oh, Dee's awesome. Like, it's like we were in that first time, that first episode, and just like three friends. And I talked to Danielle maybe once. Right? And it's like, we just three friends talking, hanging out, having a fun time, joking around. It's because they're energetically, we're connected, mm-hmm. all of us. And it doesn't matter that you two are lighter than me. It doesn't mean that we're just all connected. And I think if people understand that and turn off the idiot box, AKA the TV, and realize that their job is to divide us. Their job is to separate us. Their job is to say, hey, Danielle, hey, Steph, pick a side. Pick a side. Either you're here or you're there. And if you're here, you can't like anybody from there. Yeah. You have to hate the person from there. That's what their job is. They don't post hope because hope is not sexy.
No, it doesn't stop.
No, not at all.
No, that's like one of those things that I've always said and I've always wanted to do. I mean, now you see it a little bit more, but like just good news only, you know, like it's Tank's Good News that I follow, but there's a bunch of other ones and it's just good news. You know, they're just posting things that are good because you don't see that. You get that like one blip at the end of nightly news where it's like, oh, today's happy story, you know, and it's like, you know, grandma turned 105 today and that is very happy. But at the same time, there are so many other good things that are happening, but we'll never see that because it doesn't sell.
Yeah,
you're going to see the riots and the stuff that they...
I got interviewed in England, right? And so I was excited because one, I was trying to make sure that I didn't use my accent. So I was like, okay, how long can I go before I try my accent out? And they hate me. But it was a big, you know, it's Sky News, which is the biggest like media, whatever. And I sat there for the first 5 minutes because I had to wait because I'm off camera. And all they talked about was murder and death. And they're like, and by the way, this author is doing a positivity summit. And then I come on camera and I'm just like,
that was a great interview.
Yeah. Like
from murder and death to that though. Wow.
That's
that. Like,
if you haven't seen Danielle, you have to see that clip because it's great.
It's all negative. It's all like, and then it's like, oh, hey, Cornell's going to come on here for a five minute segment. Then we're going to go right back to what we usually talk about. So when I went on there, you know me, Steph, I was like a crazy person. So
I'm pretty sure you brought up diarrhea.
I for sure did. And they did not know how to handle it. They did not know what was going on.
Guys, this is great.
Yeah. The lady at the end, she's the one that like gets the people ready, the talent ready and to go on. She was laughing so hard. You can hear her off camera because they're so used to having people come in with an agenda or having people come in and promote more of this hopelessness. And when I came off, she gave me a hug. She was like, you are amazing. You are amazing. And like, and then I walked out. Then I hear them all as I'm walking out. So a car wreck on the blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, cool. It's like positivity and unity, all that stuff. It's just a blip on the radar for media. So I always say it's up to us to affect our life experiences. It's up to us. How I am to the people that come across my path, how I am to the people that maybe watch what I possibly do. Like, that's what's important. It's mm-hmm. not about the person in the White House. It's not about the person that, you know, it's not about the media. It's about our interactions with one another. Now, they have something to do with it. They can influence some things for sure. But man, I've not yet met a president since I've been on this earth ever. I've not yet had one come to my hometown ever, right? Yeah. But the people I do see are the people in my area, right. Like all the time. Those are people I can affect. So,
and it starts there.
Yeah, and you just ripple it. Like, I'm not into the doom and gloom. Like the world's coming to an end. There's going to be some race war. Do you know how many mixed families there are? Like, there's not ever. got to be like, have you ever been to a martial arts studio and seen how many different people? That's never, ever going to happen. But if you watch the news, you would swear that we'd have to pick sides because another civil war is coming. It's not going to happen. They're highlighting the idiots. That's right. They like to highlight idiots, and that's all.
No, that's what everybody wants to comment on and pick a side and just go at each other in the comment section. And it's just like...
So dumb.
It's terrible. Yeah, I don't watch TV news really anymore.
That's me.
See it as often as you scroll through, you know? So, oh, Danielle, you're still here.
Yeah. Yes, I'm still here.
Here's my girl.
I was going to say, I live in a bubble. I don't watch the news. I don't turn on anything that has like headlines about anything. So I don't hear all the bad stuff, but I also don't hear about anything going on either. So like kind of, you know, my own fault for not kind of educating myself, mm-hmm. but also I don't want to hear the bad stuff anymore. So everything's gone. I just shut it all off.
If something really crazy happens, Danielle, like really crazy, like an asteroid is going to come and end the world, you'll know when it hits.
Yeah. Yes. But like, I didn't know that that was even a thing.
Yeah, of course. You know why? Because it's not.
It's true. Because it's not. Because it doesn't happen.
Because it's not. Because it's like, it's not. Like, let's throw another thing at. Listen, when you have a group of people, when you have the populace scared and fearful, they're always going to look for a savior to come bail them out and help them. When you empower people, that's a whole different thing. And when people talk about education, it's not just about education over, you know, racist police. It's education on brown people, education on our history. Like, we have to educate ourselves. We have to educate our children, because the history books that we're learning from, it's BS. It's crap. We still have a Christopher Columbus Day. Like, we still celebrate Columbus Day. Like, this Joker discovered America. Like, we still do this. Because our parents did it, and their parents, and their parents. Think about how much history has changed within the last 10 years, let alone 100. Why are we still reading the same outdated things, things that have been debunked, that we know are not true? Why are we still doing that? If you look at a history book in America, especially in these areas up here, Black history starts at slavery. Now think about being a Black child, opening up the history books, in reading tales of George Washington and how he crossed the Delaware and Abraham Lincoln and John F. Kennedy and all these like white men, right? That have done, you know, amazing, Amelia Earhart, like the couple of the women that they throw in there every once in a while, right? But literally all these white people. And the only person that you see is Martin Luther King and Rosa Parks. And that's it. They give you a sentence on Malcolm X. They give you a half a sentence on the Black Panther Party. And they maybe talk about Marcus Garvey. Who knows? But that's all you get. You get a half a page. And then they give you a month, which is a short month. And then they say, okay, there's your history. Now, if you take someone's history away from them, you take their education away from them, how can I feel powerful as Cornell Thomas, you know, growing up half my life in Rockaway, New Jersey? Where I'm not reading things of people that look like me that have ever been in powerful positions. Why have you not told me about our history, our rich history in Africa, how there were kings and queens, and like, why has that been, you know, hidden from me? Because there's a plan here, mm-hmm. right? That's why they call it systemic racism. Their goal for us back in when we first came over was to keep us behind. Right. That's why you had the Three-Fifths Compromise and all these other things to try to get us back up this, like, I guess, get us back up to speed. You know, there's redlining in terms of like where we could live and all this stuff. It's just all a plan. And if you don't know that, right, if you don't know that as someone that doesn't look like us, then it's easy to say, well, why can't you guys just pick yourselves up? And why can't you guys just do this and this and this? But you're saying that from Randolph, New Jersey. You're not saying that from Newark, New Jersey, mm-hmm. where you look to your left and to your right, and there's a bunch of people that are going through the same thing that you're going through, right? Where you're working 3-4 whatever jobs just to feed your family, right? So there's just so much stuff. I got lucky. I was raised by a woman who was so stubborn, she refused to fail. That's how stubborn my mom was. She was so stubborn. she refused to fail. And she had a very, very, very extremely high faith in God, in the fact that no matter how bad it gets, she can pull us out of, or he can pull us out of the situation. My mom is an anomaly. She is very, very rare. There are not Tina Thomases walking around this earth, right? And when I talk, that's why when I talk about my mom to you guys, I got so emotional, because it's like, thank God, like, she saved our lives. You know, she saved us. Like, if my mom wasn't who she was, who knows if we would have made it? I wouldn't have my mindset. If my mom wasn't who she was, there's no way I would have my mindset. But no, there's no way, like Steph said in the beginning, I would look at things more of a half full. I'd be a victim. I'd be like, oh my gosh, why is this happening to us? Like, you know, this is bullshit. But, and who knows what I would get in? Who knows what you get into? My mom was never home. We were latchkey kids. We could have done whatever we wanted, right? So there's not everybody has a parent like I do. My mom was enough for, you know, four dads and four moms. My mom was enough for that. There's not everybody has that. I won the lottery with my mom. You know, I really did win the lottery. And there's a lot of kids that don't have that. And I feel for them. And when I go to these inner city schools and I speak, one of the first things I tell them is, like, you're being lied to. You know, they're giving you three options. They're telling you can play sports. They're telling you can be in entertainment. Or you give yourself the option of being in the streets. That's it. You have more options than that. I'm a black man that looks like you, looks like your pops, looks like it. And I travel the world speaking about mindset and positivity and unity and for us coming together. And I had a black father who was a police officer, and my oldest brother was a police officer. And I can't sit here and condemn all police officers, because I know some great ones that love me. And if I made a phone call, they would be at my house in a effing second to protect my family if I wasn't here. In a second. And it wouldn't be anything to do about race. Literally people that have my back, right? Like, no matter what. So I can't go that route. The only route I can go is, we have to educate each other. Yes. You have to understand the plight of brown people in America. And you have to understand why there's a duality of us living here. People think if you speak against the atrocities that have gone on in history, that you're anti-American. How can you be anti-American when your ancestors helped build America, right, off their backs? So I love the fact that we have opportunity here. I've been a lot of different places. I always love when I fly into Newark Airport and I get to come home. I love it. I love traveling. I love being African, all these places. It was great. But I always love coming here because there's so much opportunity here. There's so much opportunity here to create things. So it's not being anti-American. It's just realize that we don't want handouts. We want civil rights. We want to be treated as equals. We want to be treated as human beings. And when you're in the 1920s and 1930s and there's still lynchings going on in America, right? That's a problem. When you're 1960s, we still don't have equal rights. Like, that's not that long ago. My mom was like in her 20s, right? So people think that, like, America has this long, vast history. America hasn't been around for that long, right? We don't have 500, 600 years of history. All this stuff has happened within the last couple hundred years. A lot of this stuff has happened within the last 100 years, mm-hmm. right? So it's just us understanding, like, where we're coming from, and knowing that if I'm driving and a police officer is behind me for 3 miles, it's just kind of a different feeling than maybe if someone else is driving. We may both be a little nervous, but I don't know who's in that car, right? I don't know if that person in that car is going to be nervous or jumpy because the images that he sees on TV is brown folks holding guns sideways and shooting at each other. I don't know what it's going to be. My mom told me right before I got my license, baby boy, when you get your license, if you ever get pulled over by a police officer, make sure that you pull over under a streetlight, somewhere where it's well lit. Yes, sir. Hands on the steering wheel. This is before all this stuff was being recorded. This is when I was 16. It's a long time ago. And we have law enforcement in our family. Every year, one of us goes down to Passaic and we give the Bobby Thomas Award, my father's award, to a police officer. And we do like a little speech. right? And that's my mom telling me this. So this is not a new thing. This is something that hasn't just popped up. This has been going on.
No, it's been going on. It's just now you can...
Now we can see it. It's televised, right? You have your phone and you can say, oh, wow, it's now recorded. It's been going on. I did a story on my podcast, not the Ubuntu one, the one before, the American Me, and I talked about when I came home from college. I was pulled over 5 times in 6 days. Like, think about that. Like, now I haven't been, you know, pulled. I mean, I've got a year without being pulled over, but I got pulled over 5 times in 6 days. And now by the second or third time, I'm gonna be a little freaking agitated. All different police officers, right? In different like towns. And the last one gives me an obstruction of view because I had a pine cone air freshener behind my rearview mirror. It was showing a half an inch at 2 o'clock in the morning. He kept me there for an hour and a half, from one in the morning to 2:30 in the morning, out on the side of the road with his friends, and they're laughing, hanging out, whatever. And then gives me a ticket for that. So it's like, this is the stuff that we kind of go through. And if you're ignorant to that and you don't recognize that, then it's hard for us to have a conversation. Right. And again, Danielle and Steph didn't do anything to me. You guys did nothing to me. I don't need white folks to apologize to me, right? I said it before, like, we don't need sympathy, it's empathy. It's just understand that some people go through some different things. Just like, same thing, I have empathy towards my Native American brothers and sisters that are on reservations, that have taken the land stripped from them, that have gone through genocide. I feel for them. I reach out, like, I feel their pain. I get it, right? It's empathy. If that happened to anybody, white, black, gay, straight, whatever, I would say that stuff is wrong. That is wrong. You killed that person. Because I love everybody that loves me back. Everybody. I love everybody. If that happened to you, Danielle, if that happened to you, Steph, I'd be frontline outraged, right? When stuff happens to us, you don't see the outrage, especially when it's across that blue line, okay? Like, and I see police officers, one of my buddies that trains jiu-jitsu that's in my town, he posted, that does not represent us. This is the first time in a long time I've seen people cross that blue line, which is very, very hard to do if you're a police officer. Think about that. Think about you crossing that. That's a gang too. All of it. Like, that's
unit.
It's a gang, right? Like, you go out and you're going to talk about your brothers and sisters, and then you expect them to get your back when you go on a call. Right? That's tough. So for the police officers that have been saying, like, this is wrong, man, I salute you, man. That's brave, bro. That is brave. A lot of officers, like men, women, saying, this is wrong. I salute you. That is dope. But you got to keep your eyes on the prize and realize that when the media takes this and runs with it and says, okay, we have something here. Let's like really get this divide going. You have to understand that there are people that are planted in protests to cause riots, right? I don't want to call any names, but they rhymes with Queen Latifah, right? Like, there's people that are planted in these riots, right, to start stuff up, anarchists, right, that are there to, like, really stir some stuff up,
yeah,
right? So you get to see these, like, if there's 15 people and 2 people start throwing stuff, right? There's going to be a couple more that join in. That's why when the Lakers win the championship or whatever, you see people flipping over cars at sports events. That's a sports event. Why are people rioting? Because it's a Wolfpack mentality.
Mm-hmm.
One person does it, 2 other people will say, well, let's break some stuff. These are accountants. These are lawyers. These are the Lakers. Oh, let's flip some ish over. Like, what? Right? So if it can happen there, imagine having that at a very charged protest. And you see a couple people breaking stuff, and you have your bad apples for sure, right? They follow the herd. So I just hope that we don't lose sight of what the actual issue is. It's just injustice. It's just injustice. It's injustice to kill another human being, unarmed human being, for nothing. It's wrong. It doesn't matter if the person stole a pack of Now and Laters when he was 12. It's wrong. You know, everyone wants to bring up the past. Same thing with the mom, Arbery. It's like, they're like, oh, well, you know, he might have been looking at houses. Okay. You don't shoot him in the chest. You don't kill him in broad daylight, you know, and hunt him down. So we think it's common sense, but it's amazing. If you go on your timeline, it's not common sense for a lot of people. And that's the part that's sad for me.
Agreed.
Yeah. I don't get it. To me, it's just human beings. Can we not just, everybody is a human being. Can we just leave it with that? I don't know.
But that's what makes you so awesome, Dee, is like you look at it like that. And I tell people, and stuff is the same. I tell people, like, I don't ever want people to say, I don't see color, because God didn't create us to be the same, right? Like, there aren't one of one type of tree. There isn't one of one type of flower, the whole entire. No, there's so many different flowers. There's so many different trees. There's so many. I love the fact that you guys look the way you look. I love it. I want you to like love your skin, like love who you are, be comfortable with it. Just like I'm unapologetically black. I love the fact that I look the way I look, right? Just like I want people to love the fact that, don't say you're colorblind. That's dumb unless you're actually colorblind. You know, let's see each other for what we look like. That's cool. Short, tall, skinny, thin, who cares, right? It doesn't matter. God created us. We're like a bag of Skittles. That's why it's so beautiful to walk in diverse areas and see all these different people and cultures and languages. That's dope. That's what it's supposed to be.
So for people who want to help this movement continue to move along and progress and keep moving forward as it is, like we said, in the last 15 days, we've done so much. We have a long way to go, but how can we help? How can we make a difference?
I think this right here is such a big help. Like, just being vocal. I mean, just, you don't have, listen, not everybody's lane is to go out there and post every day. And, you know, like, even Martin Luther King took rest, you know, even he took naps. But if there's something that's, if something that happens unjust, like, it's okay to speak about it. It's okay to have conversations about it. Not everything has to be on social media. And don't feel guilty if you're not posting everything on social media. Right, they had the blackout Tuesday or Thursday, whatever it is. I put up a solidarity. It didn't mean that I stopped talking. That's the last thing I want to do, is stop talking right now. Like, we should continue to talk. So it's just like things like that. Like, you do it how you feel you should do it. I think this is such a great first step, is just having the conversations. You know, like, there's only so much you guys can do. I mean, it's, think about the hundreds of years of racism and ignorance. You know, Steph and Danielle are very powerful human beings, but if you can stop racism in a week, wow, that's amazing, right? Like, it's going to take all of us just coming together and having these conversations to the point where it's not uncomfortable to have these conversations. And we can sit down and talk about race or talk about things that are going on, or, you know, and it'd be fine, right? And also on my end, you know, to brown folks, when you have people that sincerely want to learn, you know, don't make it a place where they don't want to, where you're just like, well, why do you want to learn now, bitch? Like, you know, like, no, that doesn't help, right? Like, if people want to learn, like, let them in, like, let them learn, show them, like, educate them, and then educate yourself. I think, right, like, when the plane stuff opens up, I'll be in Africa a lot, because I have now, like, these new brothers and sisters that want me to come there, and I think bridging the gap between where we're, you know, all from and, you know, the African-Americans here, is like, it's important to learn their history and empower these kids and empower each other. Like, I want your beautiful kids to know about, like, real history. You know, I want my kids to know about real history. And we were saying before we came on, you know, I had to talk to, you know, talking to my kids about race. And it's like, wow, man, I can't believe I'm having this conversation. So I just think it's education, and it's just in being empathetic and being loving one another and not being an idiot. You know, like, just don't be an idiot. I know it's hard for people. It's really hard. Some people are like, oh my God, I need to, like, they might go days without being an idiot. And they're like, you know what? Today's the day. You know, I'm going to go nuts. Like, just don't do it. Right. And the person that is an idiot, don't judge them by it. And please turn off, do a Danielle and turn off the freaking TV. Turn it off. Not for Netflix. You can watch Ozarks and not stuff like that, but just for, like, the news, like, your information source, because it's all biased information depending on what channel you watch.
Mm-hmm. Well, I feel more educated, I guess, already. Mm-hmm. Like, just having this conversation has made me feel closer to you in a way, which is weird because we're already super close, but I appreciate it. I know, Danielle, didn't you appreciate it too?
Yeah. It doesn't sound like I did, but I did.
Danielle's like,
She's a sponge. She's so
honestly, it's like you're the way you talk and just being able to see your face, like, it's just mesmerizing to me. And it's just,
thank you.
It's helpful to kind of, like, I don't know, like see you and seeing you say it is like, it makes it absorb that much more. Mm. Like just to see like your facial expressions as you're talking about everything. It's yeah. very awesome.
Well, thank you. And I love you guys. And I think that what you're doing, and I've told you guys before we started, like how proud I am of you guys. And the reason I wanted to do this interview with you two, because I care about you guys so much. And I know where it's coming from. You know, I know that there's like, I know where it's coming from. And I think when good people educate themselves on things that matter, it's only going to spread and it's only going to spark just another good conversation. So I just appreciate you guys asking me. Yeah, I think you guys are super dope.
You know, we have this platform. Why not use it for good?
Yeah. And you guys do use it for good. You're like crime fighters. You know, Stephen D, we're going to talk you into happiness. Yeah.
Or into a coma or something.
You like going to sleep? Well, listen to this podcast. A whole new world. I thought that's where you were going to go. Perfect.
As always, thank you for tuning in. Feel free.
We're still recording.
Sorry. We're never not recording.
Always.
Stefan's doing the outro and here I am like walking over her like a whole new world as she's trying to do the outro. I'm like,
oh, it's going in.
What a great guest. What a great guest. I'm so sorry.
The best. Cornell, we appreciate you taking the time to chat with us tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming. We'll be sharing Cornell's information on our website along with some of other recommended podcasts and forms of media that can help us all learn, listen, and learn. It's really important for us to listen and learn right now, especially, and then lead into a new era. As always, thank you for tuning in. We appreciate you. For my lovely co-host, Danielle, I'm Stephanie, and remember, with friends, anything is possible.
Bye!
This, That, and the Other Thing with Danielle Messina and Stephanie Rossi is recorded at Landbridge Records. Special thanks to Rigby for providing our theme song and incidentals. Be sure to check us out on Instagram and Twitter at thisthat_pod and our website, thisthatpod.com.
I like adventure. I like to dance. I make great jokes and I'm on dance. All right, I'm good now.
Well, Cornell, we appreciate you taking the time to chat with us tonight. You're allowed to speak there. That's fine. Okay. Thank you for following us. No, following us. What? Is this my first time podcasting?
Yeah, sounds like it. Bye.
A whole new world. You know,
every time.
Well, you should see my ant farm.
Your ant? You have an ant farm?
Yeah.
What? For real?
No.
Getting back into episode mode.
All right.
Yeah, it just goes, all right.
Yep. That's why I'm like laughing. It's like she said five words this episode.